O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord, but the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. The Pandavas are her own sons, and the Vrishnis are the members of her parental family. Krishna was equally related to both the families. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunta Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but his doing so, but by his doing so, her paternal house will be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who follow the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and culture-rich families of the higher castes, but for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. The personality of Godhead as an ideal king showed this by example. Sri Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. Such personalities as a brahmana, a devotee, a king, or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and being weak, she prayed to be free from such bondage of family affection. The Lord is addressed as the Lord of the universe, or the Lord of the universal mind, indicating his all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of material affection. Therefore, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances, by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. So first of all, I want to thank Srila Prabhupada for bringing me back to Radhadesh. It's such a beautiful place to be, and the devotees make it so beautiful. So we thought with Jagadananda that this would be a very interesting verse to discuss. And there's some points in there that is special interest to me. I came to Krishna consciousness already an old lady, and my Guru Maharaj told me, I said, well, how do I learn this? And he had in his office a whole box full of Srimad Bhagavatams. And he said, take it and read it. It only costs $500. And I said, so I said, oh my goodness. And I kind of read it. And in retrospect, 19 years later, I can tell you I didn't understand a thing, obviously. But one thing, there were things that were very puzzling for me, like cut the tie of material affection. So you tell me, what is that? What do you understand from that? Yeah? Well, what does that mean in my practical life? Yes, it does mean that. But how do you do that? Oh, you see how to question? So anybody else has a clue how to cut material affection? What is that? Yeah? Yeah, that's one thing. Is it easy to do? So in my mind, I thought, oh, that's cool. I already cut my familial affection because I don't like my mother and I hate my father. So, well, you know, how come I'm not enlightened? So I did quite a job. All I need is leave my daughter and do garlands in the temple, and that'll be fine. So, but that's what I really thought. I just didn't know how to go with a knife and cut somebody or cut the affection and what that means. So that question almost sent me into the rest of my life trying to figure this out. And I'm on my way to kind of getting it, but I cannot get it through the mind. That's and so one of the things I learned in these 19 years of trying to do this is you can't. The short answer is we cannot do it. So that's one lesson. You know, so I wanted to show Lord Krishna how much I could do this, right? And he showed me how much I couldn't. and then he did something interesting. He did something by force of circumstance that really showed me, you know, you can't do a thing. So our course is not a course, actually. I can't teach anything, actually. Neither can Jagadananda teach anything. So, sorry to speak for you, but we've been doing this work together for quite a while. So, it's really not even a course. It is a getting together to share what we find and what it is exploring the cutting of material affection and what that means. And one of the things we found out is you cannot do it unless you love. It's only love that can do this. So it's so different from what I thought. I hate my mother, I hate my father, I never want to see them again. How great. It's not like that. It was totally the opposite. I must learn how to love and respect those. And that took me a lot of, what? Do I have to, you know, all the memories of abuse, of bad things, what do I do with all that, right? So that's exactly what cutting, what my work has been for all these years, how to change my perception. How to stop living, not how to, but in a way I realized I was living in the past. Always, you know, I don't like you, Ma. And so who am I looking to when I say that? How easy it is to go to Krishna when I'm all attached, in bondage to this material affection, which was in a negative way. Is that making any sense for you, what I'm saying? If it doesn't, raise your hand. is making sense? So the difference between a familiar bond and bondage is a very important part of, you know, what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. And the lovely thing for me is almost to reread the scriptures of this Bhagavatam that I couldn't understand it so many years ago, and seeing how amazing this philosophy is. It has the answer, it has the way, and it has the power. Because, and I wanted to read from the next verse, some very important two lines. To cut off the tie of all other affection does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. So it sounds like Srila Prabhupada is saying, cut it off, but don't cut it off. why? Because, he says, a living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. What do you think that means? Anybody? Isn't that interesting? Yes? No. Okay. So this is really very beautiful. And I was kind of studying lately that we have 9 affects that are biological. Affects are kind of emotions. There's 2 positive ones, joy and interest. This, can you imagine? We chose to come here, so live with it, right? So joy and interest. And then there is fear, sadness, anger. I forgot my paper upstairs, but I'll make it. Shame, big one, shame. This smell, meaning when you don't like something, and disgust. Ugh. So all of these you could see in babies. You know, they've been taking pictures of babies. And baby, you say, you know that, right? So the babies show all of these affects. So these are symptoms of life. It's almost like we have all of these fear, anger. We are, you know, we can't get rid of this. So that's what I think. Maybe I'm speculating a bit, but I recognize, that's what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. I mean, if we are in this body, we come with this. It's like we come with hands and hair. So the important part of this is, how do we manage these affects? And sometimes we just hold on to one too much, too long. Does that make sense? Have you seen angry people that are usually on that path? And sometimes what happens with this, things happen in the past, and then we either get angry, fear, you know, and we stuck in that past. And then we look at the world with the lenses of that incident in the past. Does that make sense to people? So, for example, if I was attacked by a man with a beard when I was 7 years old, right? I'm not going to like you because you have a beard. I'm going to be like, ooh, you know? What happens is I have that experience, right? And then I interpret, man with beard are no good, right? So I interpret, I judge, and then I take action, and it stays in the past. Is that making sense? So actually, any man with a beard will, you know, will trigger me to be scared. But it's actually not about the people who have beards at all. So what happens when I do that? And believe me, we do this all the time, and I think that's why we are here. We cannot see reality as it is. We see our own reflection on other people. Does that make sense? Depending on the experiences. So to cut the tie of material affection, and what we do in the course is to do exercises to catch ourselves, to become more aware of the times we do that. Because when you are aware, at least you could take a pause. Oh, excuse me. You know, maybe this is not about this person. Maybe this is about me and my own glasses. You know, and we could take the glasses and see if we could see anything. But we're just walking around the world almost in a daze. That's what we do in the course. We examine a little bit what is the bondage. Not that we know, because we are really, we have to discover this, and it has to come by grace, in a way. And that's why Queen Kunti prays to Krishna, the Lord of the universe. He's the only one, he says, that can cut this. So all we do in the course is almost a prayer, a five-day prayer, please. We're trying to see, dear Lord, please help us see the truth, become trustworthy, become worthy of trust, to see our own truth, to be able to be present to other people without judgments. Does that make sense? So it's a prayer, it's an exercise together in a safe place. I'm looking at the time, Manohar. Oh, we have some time yet, right? Manohar yesterday says 8:30 has to stop. So another thing we do in the course is when we are born, I mean, the moment we are born, we come with a backpack. And I think of Hare Krishna, this backpack full of karma from other generations. All right? So suppose I had a grandmother who died at birth, there is grief in the family, and I don't know how come I'm sad all the time. And believe me, the mind would never understand that. So in the course, or in the systemic constellation inquiry that we're going to do, we're going to see how come we cannot have interest and joy. How come we are not happy? Because we do have those two affects, interest and joy, in our system, and combined they make for love. You know, if you're interested and you're joyful, so what dampens that? How come I'm not into? And these affects, when they're healthy, they should take no more than a couple of seconds to come and go. Does that make sense? So that's what we look at. What is our backpack from generations? How are we connected to the family that we cannot move? Like, can I use you as my mother again? I don't like you. You beat me up when I was a kid, and I'll never, never, never. So I'm always angry. At you know, and the anger has been so, I got so used to it that I just don't even need to think of my mother to be angry. You know, the anger is just stuck in there. So, of course, I can come and chant Hare Krishna a lot, but I'm still, you know. So what we do is to try something a little different. Like, Mother, thank you very much for giving me life. Right? That's a nice sentence. And even, you know, and I take what you gave me, and I have my blessings from you, and now I can turn to Krishna, to something else, even to my own children. You know? Does that make sense to people? If we are locked in this thing, we never move. So there is a consciousness that ties us, which is the familial consciousness. It's very powerful because it's survival energy, and we'll do anything to survive in these bodies. It's survival energy, so it's powerful. And then what happens, we get used to it. It's easy to have, it's almost like it's easy to be dysfunctional. I mean, we got used to doing like this so long that, you know, if we are free, what am I going to do with myself now that I don't have my anger to deal with? So it's pretty funny. I said, give me my anger back. It was easy to be with that. So we get used to being dysfunctional in many ways. So what else do we do? I hope we have fun also, right? So there is a couple of principles that are all in the scripture. One of them is that makes a possibility for us to live in interest and joy. The first one is no one is excluded. Right? And I was always wondering how come this is so important, because the moment you exclude something, there is trouble in the system of the family, and therefore there's trouble in you. Anybody has a clue? No? So, yes. No, but why is it a principle that if somebody's excluded, you see the disturbance in the family? If I say I have a brother who's mentally ill, and I don't want to see him, and I put him, you know, if I exclude him, never talk about him, or if there is a person that I judge in my family, my great-grandfather was a murderer, so, you know, we never talk about him.
That's
true. Anybody else have any sense? I mean, one thing that comes to mind as I read the Krishna conscious philosophy is that Krishna says everybody's a part and parcel of me. So if I exclude anybody, I'm excluding Krishna. And he's not allowing that without consequence. Does that make sense? So that's another inquiry that's very present with me in my practical life, because I find that with some people I like and some people I don't like. So, you know, if everybody's a part and parcel of Krishna, how can I be with everyone and include everybody in my life, no matter what I like or dislike? So that's another thing that we have present in the course. And it is your personality, because we are parts and parcels of Krishna. So if you exclude somebody, that already is bondage. Does that make sense? Do you have a question, or you were stretching? Okay. So another thing we, and this is one of the principles, and I think it's very much in the scriptures. I'm a friend of all living entities. Krishna doesn't say, I like you, I don't like you, right? So it is like a prayer and a consciousness of how can I be present in love, with love, and for everybody, because that's what it is. But in order to do that, we have to kind of be free or be able to dance with the other affects and the other emotions and not to hold on to anything too long. Is that making any sense? So therefore, it's almost a little bit of detachment. There's other certain orders in that allow for the family. It's almost like the feng shui of relationships that helps us cut the bond. You know, the respect that we need to give to mother and father. The principle that parents give children take. So if I feel that, you know, Ma, you're bad and I'm good, I'm already in bondage. So we find, I mean, that was my case, that I thought I was much better than my mom. Of course, I was better than my father. And the kind of healthy shrinking that needs to take place needs to take place, but we can't do it unless Krishna comes and supports us. There's nothing really we can do ourselves except becoming aware, wow, this is what I'm doing. So there is no technique, and there is no how to, in a way, because I have no idea how to do that. So, do you? Probably not either. We just have to kind of become aware of what's going on with us. And as we become aware, some force of God hopefully comes in and pushes us along in our way of looking. Okay. So, I think kind of... is there something else, Jagat, that I need to say? So, anyway, so that's a little bit of an overview of our 5 days here in Radhadesh. Just want to say that I'm going to learn more probably from you than you from me, because I spent in the field of psychology 30 years, and I never lived in an ashram, so I love it when I come, because I get all the scriptural knowledge from everybody, and so it's a nice thing Srila Prabhupada does with me, almost reciprocates, and says, okay, you come, and you tell us a little bit of what you're doing, and I'll give you some sadhu sangha and some injections of knowledge. So, you know, for me, it's an honor and a joy to be here with you. Any questions? Yes. Sylvan Tompkins, a researcher, and I saw the, you know, I'm taking courses on that, and I saw the pictures of the babies, and I also have grandchildren, and so I'm looking at them, oh, this is what it is, you know, and I'm recognizing them on myself. Like, have you ever seen a child when they're playing and they're in the playground and you say, come, we have to go home? What happens? Huh? What do you observe? Yeah, that's shame. I don't want to go. So you know, and distress. So, you know, you see that. And if you leave the child alone, 2 minutes later, it's over, right? We don't do as well as babies, but so any other questions? Yes. Isn't that amazing? That's how I'm going to learn. And I was reading another verse, I don't know where, yet, last night, and about the different rasas. And I'm saying that's exactly what's happening here. It's almost like all these wonderful discoveries. Yeah. Yeah. So these are wonderful things that you can discover more of, and please share with me. I'd love to see how this philosophy carries everything. And if we follow the orders that Krishna talks in for our family, like he really stresses that the mother is the first spiritual master, for example. And if we don't honor that, we cannot move. We're stuck. So it's a little bit of, please Krishna, unstuck us a little bit. Anybody else, any questions? Yes, Mate. So now you can help me, because I know the verses that say that Krishna looks equal to everybody, yeah. Right? He has differences, but maybe it's not more, it's different, but not more or less. It's not based on attachment. Does that make sense? I think that's the key. It's not like I love you so much because I want to take from you. It's because I am connected to the love of God inside of me, and I'm connected to that I can look. So one of the keys maybe is, where is my feeding tube? You know, when you are in the hospital, they put you a feeding tube. So we either have a feeding tube in the external energy, or we have it from the life and feeling that we get from our family and from God. If we are full, then we can look at other people and don't take from them and don't manipulate. And does that make sense? That creates bondage. And so we can have different rasas. You know, with you I could be a friend, or with somebody else I could be a servitor, or with somebody else I could be, you know, a grandmother. We have different, but it's not like I love my grandchildren more than I love my daughter. Is that making sense? It's integrating in you. Yes. Yes. Isn't that what Krishna says? I'm just copying him. That's exactly it. And so from the field of body center psychology, and we are in ignorance, so whatever we are saying is in the context of a lot of ignorance. The only thing that's not ignorant is we have the scriptures that say so. But in the field of psychology, we're getting closer and closer to understand that the philosophies of enlightenment are right. Except, you know, sometimes we're not up to a little bit, but negativity is sickness, is imbalance,
And you're not happy when you're there, right? Srila Prabhupada said to some in a conversation, he mentioned, we are not hippies, we are happies. He said about his disciples. So we are happy. And you know, we're happy. How to be happy? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, do you have a... Yes, go ahead, and then...
So Krishna also mentions that, yeah, as you mentioned, he doesn't envy anyone. He says he's equal to everyone. Mm-hmm. He doesn't envy anyone. But then he also says, as one approaches me, I reciprocate. So Krishna is not obliged to be equal. For example, Duryodhana, Krishna literally... He offered himself to both Duryodhana and Arjuna. That's so. Although Duryodhana, you know his personality, but he offered himself. But Duryodhana chose the army. So Krishna is beyond that understanding.
Okay, Prabhu.
Yeah, is it not true that the negative concept in that relation, the negative way, is always with you? So that's also why.
Cutting off the ties to material affection can only be done by the... Yeah. That's it.
There's no possibility that you can have a negative relation, which is not material.
I mean, I don't know. All I know is about my negative material things. But the more I have come to a place of agreeing to my karma, and respect for everybody, the more I attempt to do that, the happier I feel. And so that's the consequence for me, you know, from my own personal experience. Anybody else? Yes?
So when you're saying cutting off, so to me it seems it's more at a subtle level, not at the gross level.
Well, I hope so, because it's... you know, you cannot, I mean, that's what I thought, oh, that's good, you know, I hate my mother, so I might cut off my attachments, and I had no idea, that's so gross. So, in a way, it's more place yourself in a place of love with receiving and not taking from the external energy, but being present to others, looking at them with love, and this is a very different thing. And I'm not talking about, you know, the love that's from the little self. I'm talking about the love that we have, that we it's our nature to be in that kind of place. So the more we are ourselves, the more we shine. And that, in a way, in counseling, is not about a strategy. That's exactly what would support other people, just being that way. I teach at New York University psychology in New York, and they all my, you know, the graduate students. Oh, I do this strategy and I do this strategy, and in a way, I said, you know, that's not going to cut it, because it's not about strategy. People know when you're loved. And if you love somebody, and if you're present with them, and if you respect them, and if you don't judge them, they'll open up. Whatever you use, you could use whatever. No strategy and 120. The strategy by itself is not going to do anything. So again, for us as devotees, it's the same thing. You know, the more we are shiny, the more we can do, the more we can build those relationships, and the more attractive, because this is a preaching movement, right? In a way. Yeah. So the more we are in our shining, happy place, the better it is. Well, thank you very much. 8:30, Manohar. Hare Krishna. Thank you.